I'm just going to give you a quick update on the parking lot situation. I did hear this week from a DOT supervisor, as well as from the person who is the lower level person. There seems to be room for some compromise. Hopefully we can get there, but just keep praying, because I have to put together a response now that hopefully can satisfy them, so that we can get this thing moving. But just be in prayer for that. This morning, I'm going to phrase my message title as a question. What now? 2000 has been a year of a lot of turmoil, confusion, and if you want to ask what could happen next, I'm not sure I want to know. But, you know, there's a lot of things that have happened this year that have created turmoil. And it's, you know, you can go the government, the impeachment, the pandemic, Ansley's accident, Susie's death, Renee's, things that she's dealing with, Cheryl, Phyllis, just the whole list of things that brings it right here to us. And then we look at what's happening in our world today, in our country. And quite honestly, I'm alarmed. You know, on one hand I hear, we want to bring everybody together, but then there's language that can't even be, we shouldn't even be thinking. And things that people are saying about people that absolutely should never be said. Wrong. Their disrespect is rampant, and not just on one side, it's on two sides. I am in hearing people tell their parents, if you vote for this person, you'll never see your grandchildren again. How have we gotten there? And it really, that's not where I want to go this morning, but if we just look at the future, it really looks uncertain. Everything. If we just look at that, Jesus said in Luke 21, when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place, but the end will not be at once. Do not be terrified. How do you do that? In our age, in our culture, the memory verse. I had a question and I chose not to bring it up because Dylan was out of time. And I just like to throw something out there. Paul made the comment that because of his ignorance, God overlooked or had grace because of that. My question is, do we even have the chance of being ignorant with all of the information that we have? Is that even an excuse anymore? I don't think it is for us. But is that even something that is to be considered? With all of the information that we have, and then all of the stories that are out there, Romans 13 tells us to be subject to the governing authorities, because there is no authority except from God. And those authorities that exist have been instituted by God. And furthermore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will come under judgment. It doesn't say if you agree with them, if you like them, if you don't agree with them, or if you don't like them. And we're not going there. This is not a political sermon, so don't go there. So the question that I'm asking is, what now? What's next? Let's turn to Daniel chapter 6. I'm just going to give just a little bit of a dialogue as you turn to that. Daniel was taken into captivity as a teen. There are some who believe that he was around 13 years old, and others estimate that somewhere around 17. So either way, Daniel was a teenager, and at my age, he was pretty young. If you're 17, you think you're maybe older than those of us that are down the road a little bit. But the thing that I see in Daniel's life is he is known for his devotion to God and his desire to live above his circumstances. He was taken in as a captive at that age, and most likely because of the way things were done then, when someone was taken captive, the males were, their manhood was taken from them. So he was a eunuch. So there you have the shame of being taken captive, and then you have one more thing in there on top of it. So as a teenager, he had what I would consider a right to be a little angry, or at least to be depressed. At the least, he should have been depressed, but he doesn't seem to be. But early on, within the first years of his captivity, he challenged the man who was in charge of he and his three friends when the food they were given was food offered to idols. And Daniel understood the law. He understood the customs and the law that he was brought up in. And so he challenged the man in charge to test a diet that was in keeping with his laws or customs of the Jewish people. It also tells us that God gave him and his friends wisdom beyond their years, and when they were brought before the king, he chose to make them rulers over provinces in the kingdom. Now, I believe I read there were a couple hundred of these provinces, and so these were four young men who were placed in charge of some of those provinces. Daniel was also called on to interpret dreams for the king, and again, because of that wisdom that God gave him, he was promoted again. His friends challenged the king when they were commanded to bow down to the golden idol. When they refused, they were thrown into the burning furnace, and God rescued them. Daniel was later promoted as a supervisor, one of three who were promoted to a supervisory position over those 200 or 300 provinces and administrators that were placed over those provinces. And at that point, there was jealousy, and those who opposed him conspired to get rid of him. Now, what I understand is that Daniel was somewhere in his 70s at this point. At the point of this reading in Daniel chapter 6. I will warn you, if you're taking notes this morning, I don't have the 3 points that I'm supposed to have. So you're going to have to catch them hard. I struggled to do that with this. I do have a couple points, but they're not laid out the way it should be. If certain people would look at my notes, they would tell me I'm all wrong, but that's okay. Hopefully it will make sense till I'm done. So let's read Daniel chapter 6. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom with 3 administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Now that word satraps is also translated administrator or ruler. So I'm not sure why the NIV couldn't change that word, but they didn't. The New Living Translation did. But at this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, O King Darius, live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or man except to you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, The decree stands in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. Then they said to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to the king and said to him, Remember, O king, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel, threw him into the lion's den. Then the king said to Daniel, May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating, without any entertainment brought to him. He could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up, hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, O king, live forever. My God sent his angels, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then King Darius wrote to all the people, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language throughout the land, may you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Backing up to verses 4 and 5, some things that I found interesting as I read through this is that Daniel, no matter how hard they tried, they could not find that he had done anything wrong. Verse 4 says, he was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. We've been talking, Scott and Dawson talked the last few Sundays about how they want to be remembered. And I look at that and I'm thinking, wow, I don't know that any of us would quite meet that in our minds. Now, maybe I built a house for a lady that was a widow some years ago, and I knew her and her husband a little bit before he died, and he became perfect after he died. So, you know, that could happen to us too. I don't know. Anyway, that was just free information. But Daniel here, while he was alive, he was seen as a man that was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. They concluded that the only chance of finding any grounds for accusing Daniel would be in connection with his integrity. They couldn't find anything to accuse him of except that he was a man of integrity. Wow. Daniel's response, verse 10. When Daniel learned that the law had been signed, what did he do? He went home. He went straight to his window, where he always went at that time of the day, opened the windows like he always did, and prayed, just like he had always done, giving thanks to God. Now, I would start rationalizing, I think, in my mind, well, why can't I leave the window shut? Why do I have to open the window? They're going to use that against me. But Daniel doesn't seem to be worried about that. Daniel seems to understand something that I need to learn yet. And I think it's a good lesson for all of us. The king's response, verse 14. And this was after they came back and had their, I guess they had their FISA warrant put together, I don't know. Anyway, they came back to the king and said, King, here's this guy that you trust. You have made him a ruler, and he's ignoring what you've told him to do. And the king's response is, he was deeply troubled, tried to think of a way to save Daniel, and he spent the rest of the day looking for a way to get Daniel out of this predicament. Finally, he couldn't. He had to follow through with what he had signed. And then in verse 18, Daniel had been thrown into the den. The king went back to his palace and spent the night fasting. He refused his usual entertainment and couldn't sleep at all that night. And I can just picture Daniel in the lion's den, sound asleep, and the king back in the palace fasting that Daniel would be protected. Now, couldn't we wish that would happen for us? That we could sleep when we're in danger or someone else thinks we're in danger and they're not sleeping well. Let's turn to Ephesians 6. That didn't sound quite right, but I hope you know what I meant there. Not that they're kept awake for that, but that they would be bothered by their actions. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and request. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. And I want to look at verse 16. It is the verse that I wanted to pull out of here. In the New Living Translation, I like the way it says it. It kind of cleans it up for me. It says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And then in verse 26, now that's not even supposed to be in there. Cut and paste got ahead of me here. But verse 16, in all circumstances, Daniel, I think, exhibited that very thing. He was in a circumstance, he had been in a circumstance as a teenager, He was there when I can't remember. Was he one of the guys thrown in the furnace, or was he not there at that time? I can't remember that. But he surely knew all about it, and he saw God work there. His friends came through that, and they saw God work. And here Daniel is now. He's toward the end of his life. And is he going to pay with his life for his integrity? 2 Corinthians 5:20 tells us that we are ambassadors for Christ. And yes, we are affected by that, all that is going on right now in our country. We will be affected. We don't know how bad it will be. We don't know how bad it can be. But we must keep our focus on the one thing that is constant. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. I do believe that truth will prevail. We just don't know when. That our response now will affect our response when that does happen. And as Christians, we should use the example of Daniel and his three friends. Daniel and his friends did that, and we must resolve that even if God chooses to allow us to be thrown into the furnace or the den of lions, we will trust Him, no matter what. And I want to close with Daniel 6, 26 and 27. Our confidence is this, and this is the king's response after Daniel was brought out of that den. For He is a living God. He will endure forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed, and His rule will never end. He rescues and saves people. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. Bruce Ashford makes this statement: whatever we hold ultimate in our hearts will have a commanding and organizing power of the whole of our existence. Our religion will radiate outward into everything we do. I'm going to repeat that. Whatever we hold ultimate in our hearts will have a commanding and organizing power over the whole of our existence. Our religion will radiate outward into everything we do. And today, yes, it's easy to be a little fearful. It's easy to be a little disturbed by what's happening. But where is my confidence? Is my confidence in who's the president? Or is my confidence in God? I'll let you answer that question for yourself. But if I hold God most ultimately in my heart, it's going to show up. And I believe that's what Bruce is saying here. The thing that we value the most will have power over our whole existence. Curtis, do you have... Well, you know what? If you have a song, why don't we go out to the gym? Junior just said something up here, and I hadn't thought of that, but maybe it would be good for us to go out to the gym and have our closing prayer and song there and just pray. I'm not sure. I'll figure out how we're going to do what out there when we get there. But just pray over that whole project. And again, the emptying of the gym as well as the filling up of the store. Curtis? Okay, 4:15 in the Faith and Praise. So let's all move out there, and then we'll dismiss from out there.